Anyway, Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. Do a follow-up on our study from last Sunday, looking at the results of rejecting biblical ethics. And even as we think about our nation, America was, of course, founded upon biblical principles, at least to some degree. And I know there's varying understanding and ideas as far as how much, but the reality is America has been rejecting biblical truth, and I want for us to see now what's taking place as a consequence of that. Notice, first of all, the first consequence is anarchy in society. Notice Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but notice this phrase, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Also Judges 21 verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And let me just say, even in Israel's history and other nations around the world, even when there is a king, there's times when there's wickedness. But you notice again the anarchy that is and lawlessness that is a result of this. Every man did that which was wrong in his own eyes. Is that what the Bible says? Notice it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We're not saying that they're doing wrong on purpose. Again, I want you to see here, even as we look at the book of Judges in particular, lawlessness and anarchy is caused by everyone doing what they believe is right. Right. I want you to think about it. As soon as a nation, for example, rejects an absolute truth, then anything goes. And even as I've already alluded, you know, some determine the right thing to do by the situation or what the culture says and so on and so forth. Everyone's doing what they believe is right. They're not doing wrong on purpose, but they're doing what they think is right. And the problem with that is, then everyone's doing what they think is right, then what everyone thinks is right is running in conflict with one another. And you notice the very practical thing, that's why we have anarchy and lawlessness when this takes place. A study of Judges reveals the consequences of people establishing their own standards of right and wrong. Hold your place here. I'm coming back. Notice Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. I guess we will go back to Judges, but in a different spot. Proverbs chapter 14. We also have in America replaced righteousness with conservatism. It's not some conservative politician that we need. It's not conservative radio that we need. Notice what we need in America, Proverbs 14, verse 34. As we think about even the lawlessness that we see in the book of Judges in Israel, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And again, I believe we've bought the lie that conservatism will exalt a nation. What we need is a conservative president. What we need is a conservative Congress. What we need is conservative judges. No, we need righteousness in America. We're misplacing the emphasis there. As far as the book of Judges, when you look at a study of Israel in this particular time of history, when everyone was doing what they thought was right in their own eyes, first of all, we see idolatry. As you look at the book of Judges, even sacrificing their own children to a false god, a Canaanite god. So idolatry, apostasy. By apostasy, we're talking about doctrinal error. They rejected the Old Testament law and were following wicked religions. Apostasy, a falling away of the truth. From the truth, I should say. Also, confusion. When you do a quick reading of the book of Judges, you see all of the confusion. Everyone is doing what they think is right. And so there's all kinds of confusion in the culture there. Also, defeat as a nation. One of the things I notice as you read through the book of Judges is the revolving door on Israel of the nations that were controlling Israel. I mean, it's almost like a revolving door. All right? So then you have this nation conquering Israel and dominating for 40 years, and then God raises up a judge and they're kicked out, and then they get apostate again, and so God sends another nation in. It's just a constant revolving door with the nations. Again, we think about America by way of application. The enemy is here more than we want to admit. You think about radical Islam, as they commonly refer to it. I believe there's more in America than we want to admit. And a lot of it was invited in by our former president. So I want you to think about the enemy that we have allowed in. It's taking us, slowly but surely, to defeat as a nation. I have a video that I don't remember where I came across it now, but basically what this video points out, and In fact, this video is actually several years old now, but it talks about the slow domination that Islam is taking of literally the world, basically by the birth rate. If I remember correctly, the Islamic nations have a birth rate of 8.1. You do a comparison of the United States, Canada, Europe, and various some of these industrialized nations. In many of those nations, it's less than 2. In fact, you can't even sustain a culture unless it's 2.1 or higher. And basically what that video points out is that Gaddafi and all of them have said this. Literally, Islam is taking over the world by sheer numbers. And it won't be long when we'll see more situations like Detroit and all that here in America. You know, who would have ever thought, at one time a quote-unquote Christian nation, England, having a Muslim mayor in London? Literally, these things are happening in our world today. But again, defeat as a nation. Also, lawlessness, as I talked about. Lawlessness, of course, means without law. That's why we have mob violence, riots, even union violence, and so many things in America today. You know, it's a sad day when mobs take over a state capitol for, what was it, weeks in Wisconsin? You think about this. In fact, I believe it's been revealed that a lot of those people were paid to do that. That's where we are in America. We are without law. Not only have we rejected this book, but in many cases, we've rejected our own laws. They're not even enforced in many cases. Immorality, you think about the immoral behavior that we see in the book of Judges. Also bondage, even as I said, bondage to other nations. Sorrow and despair. How many times there was a constant oppression that Israel experienced. But also the wickedness of sodomy. Notice me, Judges 19. Judges 19. So we think about this downward spiral that Israel went through, even in a short time after they moved into the land of Canaan. Of course, we see in Joshua that they did not drive all the Canaanites out like God had told them to. But notice here, Judges 19, verses 22 and following, there's a verse at the end of this passage I want to emphasize. Judges 19, verses 22 and following. As they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, sons of the devil, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said unto them, nay. Now, it's a sad day when sons of Belial are called brethren by a supposed part of the nation of Israel, the people of God. Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, I beg you, do not so wickedly. Notice he described it as wickedness. Seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. It's foolishness. Behold, you know, culture has gone pretty low when this takes place. Right. Here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so a vile thing. I want you to think about this, though, by way of application in America. I mean, it's a proven fact that there are sodomites in our daycares. It's a proven fact that there's sodomites teaching in our schools and in our society. But you let a preacher go in and teach the Word of God, oh, that can't be done. I want you to consider they cannot have children, so they recruit. That's why they target Boy Scouts of America. That's why they target Girl Scouts of America. That's why they're targeting young people in the Catholic Church. That's what is amazing to me. You know, it's a known thing in these organizations that there's vile, profane behavior going on, but yet you'll send your children? Now, that's the epitome of stupidity, if nothing else. But I want you to think about this, though. We live in a day when we are turning our children over to sodomites by sending them to public school or whatever. It starts kindergarten or even younger. How would you like for your child or grandchild, young child, to come home from kindergarten and announce to you, I'm a homosexual? What? You know how they do that? Okay, you think about kindergarten boys. Girls have cooties. Oh, I just can't. So the sodomite stands up in the classroom and asks boys how many of you like boys? Well, These kindergarten boys don't want to spend time with girls. But yeah, I like boys. Well, then you're a homosexual. You think about the brainwashing that starts even in kindergarten and younger. That's in our culture. Our culture is turning our young people over. He says, here's my daughter. Verse 25, but the man would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her and abused her all the night until... this is just hospitality. This is wickedness. The Sodomites like to explain away this passage. And when the days began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house and her hands were upon the threshold. She died as she tried to reach the house. And he said unto her, up, let us be going. Do you notice how callous this is? He just gave her to some wicked men. And she's died there. Up, let's go. But none answered. Then the man took her upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. Now, what do you think about if this happened in America? It used to be that people would be shocked. And when he was coming to his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her, together with her bones, and into 12 pieces, and sent her out into all the coasts of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Here's the statement I want for us to pay attention to. Consider of it. Take advice and speak your minds. I want you to consider that Christianity, generally speaking, has lost its influence in America. I want you to think about how much this is becoming a part of America now as an acceptable thing. It's just become a part of our culture. Notice me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, anarchy in society is a result of a nation in particular rejecting God's absolute truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and following. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word perilous means hard, difficult, and grievous. Are we there? We're getting there. This Greek word was also translated fierce in Matthew 8:28. And there it talked about a man with devils, possessed with devils. So we're talking about this demonic type of culture that we live in these last days. Perilous times shall come. All right, so here's the description. Let's see if Paul is describing our modern day. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I'm going to take a selfie on the edge of the cliff and hope I don't fall off. I mean, we live in the selfie movement. You think about how much emphasis is on self-esteem in our modern day. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's about me, myself, and I. The three most important people in my life. Covetous. Okay? Is America covetous? We have the most stuff in all the world. But yet we are the most unthankful people. We'll see that later also. Covetous. We want more stuff. If you don't give it to me, then I might kill you. No. Again, covetous. Boasters. Proud. Going together. You think about pride and arrogance. Blasphemers. How many of you never hear any blasphemy out of the mouth of people at work? Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. That's a characteristic of our society. Unthankful. All right, so again, we have so much, but yet we're the most unthankful nation in the earth. Unholy. Oh, there's a good description of our culture. Where's the holiness in our, These liberal preachers can call themselves most holy reverend, but if you understand much about them, some of those men are very wicked. Without natural affection, truce breakers. How many of you would shake on it today? Even when you sign a contract, they find loopholes. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Do you realize... I've not heard a lot of it here, but then I'm not watching a lot of the news. But do you realize that some of our security agencies consider us to be the enemy of our nation? Why? Because you're a right-wing fundamentalist. Ever notice it's very interesting how they group us in with the radicals? I'm not radical. Well, I guess some people think I am, but you think about description of radical, fanatic. I'm not going to a ball game today and painting myself two different colors to root on my team. You know, in my mind, that's a fanatic. But because we believe this book, we're fanatics. And we are a threat to our society. I have a feeling that's why there's going to be so much persecution during the tribulation period. Because those who do believe in Christ after the rapture, they're going to be a threat to the system of the Antichrist. Again, you think about this. Despisers of those that are good. The ones who are good are considered to be the enemy. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, we have, you know, we're heading into the Super Bowl season here, playoffs and all that. I wonder how many people of these hundreds of thousands of people that watch these games, I wonder how many of them go to church as well. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. Here's this religion that has an outward appearance, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's a description of our culture. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. You know, you do a study of the ministries of Joyce Myers and some of these big name preachers, not just the women preachers, by the way, some of these televangelists. In many cases, it's women leading those ministries. But again, you notice this. The devil knows how to target this. Again, it's taking lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Thousands of people will go to hear Joyce Myers to try to find truth. Thousands of people go hear Joel Osteen trying to find truth. In fact, they'll even pay to go hear Joel Osteen. By the way, where's the $10 admission? They got to pay for that arena somehow. You notice again, they're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They'll sit in these conferences and listen to all these speakers, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth that's found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Oh, they might appear to be religious, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Here's one of the reasons why so many are deceived. People don't want to hear doctrine anymore. We need doctrinal teaching. Amen. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. How can you fully know the doctrine of the preacher unless he's teaching doctrine? Notice you've fully known my manner of life, my way of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And as I often say, I think we probably wish there's a period right there, right? Persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're talking about suffering for the cause of Christ. But notice this as we close this passage. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, there are some preachers I hear talking about this revival that they really believe is going to sweep across America. I don't really see that in these last days. The Bible says very clearly that in the last days there will be a falling away. Right. I do believe that we can see pockets of revival as churches, as communities or whatever are focusing upon the Lord, but there's also a false revival that's taking place in America. Okay, so you think about the megachurch movement. There's more megachurches than we've ever had in our history of America. And yet we're the most wicked than we've ever been in our history. The megachurch movement is not the answer that God has had for America. Again, it's going to get worse and worse. I believe it's going to get worse and not better in these last days. But again, we have God's word to tell us that all these things would take place. In the last days, perilous times. Okay, they're here. Second of all, something else that results, another result of rejecting biblical ethics, increasing levels of iniquity. Notice Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Now, before you read this passage, what destroyed Sodom? Our first answer is abominations, right? I want you to notice in this passage that is not the root cause of why Sodom was destroyed. Notice Ezekiel 16, verses 46 and following. Now, when you think about this passage, I want you to take notice that Judah, that this message was sent to in particular, was compared with Sodom. Now, that's pretty low when a nation that God has chosen is compared to a wicked nation that's already been destroyed. It's also compared to Samaria, northern kingdom of Israel that has already been destroyed by this time. Notice it says here in Ezekiel 16, verses 46 and following. So again, we see here increasing levels of iniquity is another consequence of rejecting God's biblical truth. It says in verse 46, thine elder sister is Samaria. So now there's a comparison made here so that Judah understands how serious God thinks this is. She and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Sodom, Gomorrah, and all the cities that were destroyed. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abomination. Okay, so when we first read that statement, okay, well, they're not as bad as that, right? But as if that were a very little thing, thou hast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. So as God is making this comparison here, he says that Judah by this time was corrupted more than Sodom, that God has already destroyed. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. So here's the iniquity as to why God destroyed this city. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. I want you to notice here. It talks about the iniquity of Sodom and the iniquity of Judah. What is iniquity? I want you to see, hold your place, so we're coming back to there. 1 Samuel 15. I think sometimes we think we know what some of these Bible words mean. But one of the best commentaries on the Word of God is the Bible itself. Amen. I want you to notice 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. As we see here, God's definition of iniquity. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. All right, so God would rather have us obedient instead of making vows and all those things, offering sacrifices. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Notice here this iniquity is compared here with stubbornness. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So there's an element in iniquity. There's an element of rebellion and stubbornness. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Back in Ezekiel. So what is iniquity? Iniquity refers to a stubbornness of character, a tendency to do wrong, a disposition toward transgression of God's law. If you think about Saul, even as we saw in Psalm 52 and 1 Samuel, even having Doeg in power in his kingdom, justifying violations of God's law. That's what we see happen here with King Saul. Now, corruption begins as a seemingly little thing. It says in Ezekiel 16, was it verse 47? Yeah, as if that were a very little thing. I want you to see how the corruption takes place in a culture. Again, as they're rejecting biblical truth, it starts off small, as if that were a little thing. All right, so it starts off as a small thing, and it grows and grows and grows. As wickedness, as iniquity continues to abound, notice it becomes increasingly great. Now, what you think about this, committing abominations was not the only reason, again, Sodom was destroyed. Notice again the iniquity that was mentioned in this passage, verse 49. First of all, pride. America is not a proud nation, are we? Yeah, we are. I think of some of our sports teams at some of these international events. That sometimes our nation's teams offend other nations because of some of the things that they do in pride. Fullness of bread. That's not America, is it? We probably throw more food away than a lot of the nations in our world eat. Fullness of bread. Gluttony is what that's called. Also, abundance of idleness. In America, we have more idle time than ever in our history. I mean, it used to be children had to go out and at least go down and get the water out the creek. I've been a custodian as a way to support ministry in the past years, and I can tell when I'm in a richer community. There was one like that in Ohio, and in fact, if I remember correctly, they even denied any state funding because they didn't want state ties. It was a public school. It was a rich community. It was one of the fastest growing areas in the country. And a lot of those those young people didn't have to clean up their own room or whatever because somebody came in and cleaned it up for them. Some of the vile things I'd have to deal with. If you think about this, idleness, abundance of idleness. Today we have cable TV. I never have figured out the stupidity of allowing children to have young people, teenagers, allowing them to have their own cable TV in their room. I have never, that is stupidity. Video games. Oh, I'm going to get to the next level. Spending hours. Did you know that they now have gaming chairs? They also have gaming competitions. It's called sports now. Video games. But it's of idleness. Social networking. Well, how many friends do you have? They aren't friends on the social networks. Like I say, one preacher calls it faceplant. I really believe that somehow that they're going to be able to track us all down because of these social networks. In fact, some of these social networks have already said if the government came in and demanded information, they would give it to them. Maybe a reason why we don't want to be on Facebook or whatever. Surfing the internet, whatever. We have abundance of idleness. I'm not saying I believe it's a good thing for teenagers to go and get a job out in the world. I'm not saying that. But yet at the same time, there's things, they can't even mow the lawn once they get a age of responsibility to mow the lawn. Abundance of idleness. Notice also lack of concern. From what I understand in history, Sodom, Gomorrah, and that region was a very wealthy area. But yet the Bible says they did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So they have abundance, but they're not sharing with those who are poor and needy, those who desperately had a need. Notice also the arrogance. They were haughty. They were haughty. Again, you think about the reasons why they were destroyed. But these little sins, as we would consider them, led to abominations that ultimately destroyed Sodom. Again, in Ezekiel 16:50, they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Finally, notice confused morality is a result of rejecting biblical absolutes. Ezekiel 22, since we're close there, we'll do this passage first. Ezekiel 22, verses 26 to 30. That's a pretty sad day when religious leaders are promoting this wickedness. That's what we see in America. And that's what the Lord confronts here in Judah. Her priests, verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. Notice this statement. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. All right, so we're talking about confused morality as a result of rejecting biblical absolutes. They've put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. These are the preachers, we would say, the priests. Her princes in the midst, so now we're talking about the political leaders. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. The ultimate is what we saw in the last hour, these dictators of our world that literally kill their own people. But there's more of this that goes on in America, even though we're not on quote-unquote a dictatorship. Verse 28, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. How many preachers do we have today that preach in the name of the Lord, but they're not preaching God's word? The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Notice this in verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that I should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Here's the message from Ezekiel. I was looking for one man to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. We're talking about the hedge of protection that God had placed around Israel. God began to tear down the hedge, even as we see in Psalm 80 and excuse me, in other places, Isaiah 5 and other places. God began to tear down this hedge of protection. And so God was looking for one man to stand in the gap of the hedge on behalf of the land, but he could not find one. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Isaiah 5. We saw this a few weeks ago. We're going to see a portion of this here in this context. Again, this confused morality of our day. First of all, we see that people become shameless in their depravity, parading their evil in the streets. Oh, does that sound like America? Isaiah 5, verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten. Notice the challenging of God here. Let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Notice then this inability to discern good and evil. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They lose their ability to discern between good and evil. You notice, first of all, they establish a new morality. I've used these illustrations before, but sodomy is renamed as civil unions or a chosen lifestyle. Fornication is now called just living together. Adultery is called an affair. Where can you find the word affair in the Bible? It's adultery. Pornography is renamed as freedom of the press. In fact, this is not common knowledge. Christians don't want to pay attention to this. But one of the most prominent members of Rick Warren's church, at least at one time, was Rupert Murdoch. One of the leading pornographers in our world. He also owned Zondervan. If I remember correctly, Zondervan bought out Thomas Nelson Publishers, quote-unquote Christian publishers, all owned by Rupert Murdoch. So why was he not disciplined from that church? Because of all the millions that Rick Warren is making from Rupert Murdoch printing his books, publishing his books. So again, we see pornography is renamed as freedom of the press. Premeditated murder is now mental insanity. Somebody can go out and murder a bunch of people and plead insanity and get off easy. Premeditated murder. Drunkenness is disease of alcoholism that you can catch in a bottle, from a bottle. Abortion is reclassified from murder of an unborn child to a woman's choice. I'm pro-choice. I choose life. Why is it that they say it's either you're either pro-choice or pro-life? I'm pro-choice, I've chosen life, based on what God says. Rebellion and burning of a nation's flag is now freedom of speech. Profanity, immorality, blasphemy, and violence in movies and on television is now entertainment. As I've already emphasized, they practice situational ethics. The situation determines what is the right thing to do. They reject the moral absolutes of the Word of God. That's how you can have this mixed up morality, you know, calling good evil and so on. That they've rejected the moral absolutes of thus saith the Lord in God's word. And a confused morality dominates our modern culture. You think about how this takes place. For example, homophobia, hate speech is evil, but sodomy is an acceptable behavior. If I say this in a public school, I could be arrested. In Christian America, or at least dismissed unceremonially from a school, homophobia, hate speech. You don't believe this is true? Christian bakers can be fined thousands of dollars because they refuse to bake a cake for a sodomite marriage. In fact, I believe in many cases they're targeting them so they can make a public expression. Capital punishment is inhumane, but premeditated murder is mental insanity. Again, we have a confused morality. We've lost our ability to discern between good and evil. Now, I want you to think about this, though. A lot of this is taking place in churches today. I don't know how many times over the years I've come across somebody who, I mean, the issue is Republican, Democrat in that individual context. But they, you know, so-called Christians, they claim to be Christians, who outspokenly will say that I'm voting Democrat, even though when they understand and know that abortion is one of the big things they put forth. It's not a big deal anymore for Republicans anymore, even. But think about this, though. When it's an obvious thing, in my mind, people cannot even see through it. But again, we see that in the Word of God. So with that said, since we have a sin nature, we can sink lower and lower spiritually. How serious are we about the study and application of this book? Oh yeah, I'm a King James. I believe in the King James. Okay, we believe in the King James Bible, but are we studying it? Are we learning it? Again, we saw last week. We can become dull of hearing so that we do not get what God wants for us to have from this book. Are we becoming skillful in applying the Word of God? How does that work? Well, I have this decision to make. What does the Bible say? Well, not what my preacher says. Can you go to the Bible and find the answers? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't seek counsel and other perspectives on it, an understanding of the Scriptures. But are you becoming skillful in applying the Word of God so that you have the ability to discern between right and wrong in these wicked days? Do you control sensuality with the Word of God? Having their senses, what? Exercised. How do we do that? Our senses need to be exercised with this book so that my senses are controlled with what this book says. Again, how serious are we about the study and application of God's Word? Is there a day that goes by when you do not pick up your Bible? Is there a day that goes by when you do not try to find something from God's Word to apply to your life that day? And finally, are we separating from the lawlessness, iniquity, and confused morality of our culture? I don't know how many times over the years I've had people in churches accuse me of being judgmental. From time to time, I'll mention this. And again, I'm not the one judging. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. But again, this is a permeating modern-day Christianity. So it's not just yoga, meditation in churches. This confused morality is in our modern-day churches. We need to be looking at God's Word and know what God says, thus saith the Lord. What is right? What is wrong? Oh, but all these gray areas. No, we saw last week, there are no such thing as gray areas. There's nothing neutral. It's either good or evil. So, are we able to determine between good and evil? Father, I pray that you'd help us in these perilous times. Lord, that's what the Holy Spirit said would happen in these perilous times in which we live. Fierce, difficult. Father, you want us to be able to know what is right and wrong, good and evil. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to know your word so well that we see the deception of the devil. To know your word so well that we understand what is right and wrong, and in our modern day. All this stuff accepted in so much of Christianity. So Lord, help us to be discerning in these perilous times in which we live. Having our senses exercised with the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Help us to separate from the wickedness of our culture. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.